Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Quick Slants Podcast is brought to you by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most exciting lineup ever. Shop ChooseNissan.com.
Today on Quick Slants Podcast, the Patriots are 1-2 and taking on water. How do they bail out? How do they right the ship? How do they get back to shore? How do they get their sails up? Gerard Mayo and Phil Perry, they get through the X's and O's along with me, Tom Curran. It's Quick Slants Podcast, sails into the tempest. It is the 2018 season in the Miami Dolphins. Another aquatic reference.
Quick Slants Podcast, as usual, is brought to you by the fellas over at stateandliberty.com. I'm telling you, these shirts, they fit tremendously well. They're comfortable. And whether you're sitting in the office or commuting to the office, you're going to get a dress shirt that has a great fit and great comfort. State and Liberty gives you that nice fit around the shoulders and then tapers down around the midsection so that you have a form-fitting shirt isn't like a sausage skin. Do me a favor, stateandliberty.com, that's stateandliberty.com. Type in the code QUICK, Q-U-I-C-K, at checkout. You receive 15% off your first order. I'm telling you, folks, these shirts are tremendous. So go to stateandliberty.com, type in the code Q-U-I-C-K, get 15% off. You won't be sorry. A week like this, we have to go to the bullpen. Not because we need more assistance, not because we can't cut it. Gerard and I can do that. But we bring back the senator right now, Phil Perry. Phil, how you doing?
I miss you, boys. I miss you dearly. It brings a tear to my eye, the fact that I'm able to talk to you right now just over the phone.
All right, we're going to dive right into the podcast. What did you see Sunday night, Gerard, from the defense? We're going to start on that side of the football. Again, it looked like a level of, I hate to use the word, but disinterest defensively. And lack of enthusiasm and effort.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it, I don't want to just start the defense. I felt like the entire team just came out lethargic. What like there was no energy. And even when you saw Tom yelling on the sideline, it just seemed like it was so
pleading.
Forced and pleading and manufactured.
Please, please, it's like, make a play.
Someone please do something. And I was just so disappointed. And all offseason, we had, you know, on the defensive side, now we'll go to the defensive side. You know, the defense is easier. You know, there aren't as many checks. We're going to be, you know, we're flying around. Yet you see miscommunications in the back end where this is supposed to be the strength. Of course, you're not. You don't have Chung and Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely hurts the defense. But when you look at that game, you know, you talk about complementary football, offense, defense, and special teams. Like the offense was on the field, what, 20 minutes?
Oh, it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. So you can't play good defense like that. And then when you talk about marrying up the pass rush with the coverage and the coverage with the pass rush, I mean, it was terrible. Like, there were times when I felt like he was back there for 5 seconds. He probably got hit one time the entire game.
And, Phil, the Lions looked like they had absolutely nothing to sweat in terms of the Patriots running any kinds of twists, stunts, hand fighting. It was just like a bunch of guys running their shoulders into the wall, it looked like, in terms of the pass rush.
It was like that front seven wasn't there on far too many plays, and you could go front to back, back to front, and you could point out mistakes left and right. And, you know, talk about the coverage versus the pass rush, and Daron Harmon had a bad breakdown to give up a touchdown. Coverage-wise, there was no pass rush. You got three pressures from Kyle Van Noy. You got one pressure from Dante Hightower. You had one sack that was the only hit from Dietrich Wise. I thought he was really the only player defensively to bring any energy. And that was it. You have guys like Malcolm Brown getting blown 8-9 yards off the ball by Frank Ragnow, who I was killing
yes.
in our pregame show. I thought Dietrich. I thought the line would have a field day with Frank Ragnow. It was
Gerard Mayo wanted to pop in right there. He put one finger straight up.
I was saying because you know we're talking a lot about the pass game, and on the pregame show I said I hope the Patriots don't allow a 100-yard rusher in this game. Can you talk about Phil? Can you talk about because you were there and actually saw? Like, can you talk about what was going on in the run game?
It just felt like, Gerard, there was zero resistance provided by the interior of the defense. And I don't mean just the interior defensive lineman. I actually thought Lawrence Guy was okay. He's been one of their better defenders through 3 weeks here. Malcolm Brown was as bad as I've seen him in a long time.
Non-competitive. Didn't compete.
I thought Danny Shelton was a non-factor as well. And when I say the interior, not just the line, I'm looking at the linebackers too, and somebody like Landon Roberts. But Tom, it all works together, and Gerard knows this well. When you talk about gap integrity, and there's a lineman who has the A gap, then there's a linebacker who has the B gap, and you have to work all your way down, and everybody has to be in the right place.
Is this Bill Belichick on the phone?
And there were too many players that were out of position on just too many plays. I'm sure Gerard saw it too on TV.
You know, the thing that was happening, these guys weren't, it's not like you could just say the A gap, the B gap, because these gaps move. And what was happening, these guys were getting washed so wide that the B gap essentially was the C gap before the snap, if that makes sense, right?
It does.
But because they were getting washed down like that and weren't playing with their hands and building that wall that Phil alluded to, you know, they were just gaps in the defense.
And then we're getting sealed off, Phil, too. It was interesting to hear Brendan Daly on the conference call yesterday, Phil, talk about hand placement and hand fighting. And you talked about that with me the other day. It was non-existent, certainly among the front three, but even among the linebackers.
Yeah, and I would say one of the things that's most surprising about the fact that this defensive front has played the way it has is that you have more coaching manpower assigned to that group than any other group on the roster right now. Brendan Daly is the lead guy. He's the defensive line coach. But Brett Bielema is the consultant to the head coach. He's a defensive line guy.
I think he's the problem.
And then Joe Kim is supposed to be there. And we see him working hard. All three of them are out there, and they're with this group all the time. Joe Kim is the martial arts expert. He's been in the league since Belichick brought him to the Browns back in the 90s. And we've talked about hand fighting on this podcast, and there just doesn't seem to be any of it unless you are Trey Flowers or Dietrich Wise as a passer.
But you don't want much hand fighting against the run, right? So there's just replacing.
I mean,
you want to replace.
Jab your hands up.
Put your hands in there, but if the offensive lineman happens to get his hands inside, you need to replace, right? So now you're getting your hands inside. On the pass, pass rushing, there is a lot of hand fighting, and when you look at this defense, they look so slow, and that's one thing. And people talk about it, oh, they're so slow. But if you're going to be slow, they better not be able to run up the middle. And
that's a bad combo.
That is
it?
A bad combination.
If you're going to be slow, you better be stout.
You better be stout. And that's how the New England Patriots have played defense for a while when they had those bigger guys. You know, you're playing that 3-4, the Vrabels and Brewskis inside. And they were just so stout inside, and they would just make everything bounce, 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 bounce. And you also had an offense, though, that was picking up first downs. You look at the last few weeks, and they've had a hard time on third down. Three and out, three and out, three and out. And when you start a game like that, now your defense is out there for a long time, and that's where it goes back to complimentary football.
Before we get to them, I wanted to ask about High. Is that okay, Philly?
Yeah, go.
What's up with our guy, who's one of the better linebackers in the league, and he's just a 275-pound, force when he's at his best?
Oh, definitely. You know what? Honestly, I don't know. You know, a lot of people say maybe he's hurt and things like that. Maybe, but when it's all said and done, you know, when you're coming off of an injury, there's always, your body is ready before your mind is ready.
He alluded to that in an interview with Jeff Howe.
Okay.
It's okay. Yeah. From The Athletic. He's still trying to knock the rust off.
Right. So you knock that. So it's more of a mental hurdle, I think, with Hightower. But I don't know, honestly. And right now he just doesn't look good. And I know he knows that, right?
Sure.
He knows I'm not playing the way I know I'm capable of playing. And to be quite frank, no one else on that defense is really helping him out in the front seven. No one's out there like handling two guys. He's just running around. So I thought, even when they took the green dot off of him, I thought that gave him more freedom to go, just run around and make plays. And even then, he still had a hard time this past game.
Phil,
I wonder if Gerard feels like Hightower should be back in the middle of the defense a little bit more, a little bit off the line of scrimmage. We've seen him a lot on the line. And that one play where that everyone is pointing out as the example of why Hightower isn't the player he used to be, and he's moving slowly, where he's chasing Kerryon Johnson to the sideline. I thought Rob Ninkovich did a good job of pointing out on Monday Night Patriots that he actually was in coverage to start the play, takes a couple false steps back towards the middle of the field, has to flip his hips, reverse direction, and get back to the side. Like, there's no way he's ever going to win that race. And so I do wonder if there's some aspect of it, too. I remember saying this in week one where he was chasing Deshaun Watson. He knows he's not catching some of these guys. And I wonder if for him, he knows, as guys have said many times, that the journey is kind of over for him. And he's just there almost to prevent a cutback. And so it feels like he's not running full speed.
I thought you meant the career for a second.
No, for sure.
He looked at an individual play and he's like, this guy is running a 4-4 to the sideline and I'm just never going to get there.
Yeah, definitely. There's no way that Hightower was, you know, had contained. Right. So you're definitely playing cutback, but I definitely agree with you when you said put Hightower back in the middle, because there's no stunting even on the run. Like, there's no run stunting. There's a difference between pass stunting and run stunting. So I feel like when you have that, you know, young linebackers inside, whether it's Roberts or anyone else in there or Bentley, like, they're sitting there like, listen, this is your gap, this is your responsibility. And he doesn't have the freedom. At least when I was a rookie, this is how it was. You didn't have the freedom to move guys at will, knowing, like, if I moved Vince in the A-gap, then I had the opposite A-gap. And right now, they're so vanilla on defense, at least in the front against the run game, that people are just gashing them.
And they seem vanilla in the pass rush as well. The only blitz we're seeing is that A-gap blitz, which is basically coming from 25 yards away, and anybody can see it from the linebackers.
You shouldn't have to blitz to get – and that's a pressure, right? That's a pressure. But you shouldn't have to send an extra guy to get some – like, that guy – like, Stafford was back there forever
But if you're not getting any pressure
– run some pass rush games with the four
–
They're not doing.
So instead of running pass rush games – they're sending the A-gap.
And you still have guys running past the quarterback. And you hear Bill talk about that every single year.
All right. So I'm old enough to remember when Brian Flores was supposed to be the newfangled antidote to this defense, which was like 25 minutes ago. So far, it hasn't happened. Phil and I talked about this earlier. I think personnel-wise, maybe you start looking at some of your linebackers on special teams and saying, I need to get some reps for a Nicholas Grigsby or a Brandon King and inject some speed. Gerard, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, King can fly. He can really fly. He's one of those guys. But at the same time, you know what happens when
you give something up.
You give up that. If you had a defensive line, like guys inside who were playing with their hands and you had that gap integrity, you can bring in a guy like Brandon King, but he's smaller. He's on the smaller side.
So
if they get to you and they run up the gut, then that's 5 yards. That's 5 yards of carry. And they're having a hard – another thing, going back, let's rewind all the way to training camp. This is still training camp, essentially.
Yep.
Right, because, it takes away the two-a-days, take away all that stuff. They are tackling – I mean, the tackling is so sloppy. Bruschi put out a quote today about the yardage after contact. They're last in the league after contact.
And it's funny because on conference call today, Phil, Bill Belichick talked about tackling not being an issue against the Lions. He said it was leverage. And I know that they're different, but to me, it's a distinction without a difference.
I thought that was very odd. Yeah, I thought that was just I think they had 9 missed tackles. That's an unusually bad performance for Bill Belichick coach team. And so for him to say that that's not an issue when he is usually the, we got to get back to fundamentals. We're going to work on fundamentals 50, 75% of every single practice of every single day. Like that was a head scratching sort of comment to me. The reason I kind of like what you're suggesting from him in terms of bringing some speed onto the field, whether it's Nicholas Grigsby, who did play well in preseason at points, I thought, or Brandon King, you have all of these big bodies on the field that are supposed to be run stuffers, whether it's the guys in the middle, Malcolm Brown, Danny Shelton. These linebackers are all run stuffing linebackers. Dante Hightower is a huge guy. Landon Roberts is a run game player. Juwan Bentley has made some plays in the passing game, but he was drafted as a run game player, and they can't stop the run. So I'm okay with trying to get some speed on the field and see if that changes anything.
Want to flip to the offensive side of the football? Because I think the issue over there, again, was execution. We saw Gerard, Sony Michel has caught just buckets of shit this week for not being good, apparently. I have absolutely no concept. I'm watching the game by myself in this little alcove in Burlington. And then when I started hearing the people were complaining about Sony Michel, I'm like, who?
I mean,
but it wasn't just two people. It was a lot.
When I watched the game, maybe there was probably one play, maybe when he caught that flat. that ball out in the flat. Yeah, maybe you can make that guy miss. But when you look at some, like even one. On the even it's on
a,
the
that
short
was a defensive end, that was a defensive end who tracked him down and dragged him down. That wasn't good. You got to be able to.
That's
bit
true. That's
guy.
True. But when you
but
look at when you look
the
at
football.
The yeah running the football, like there was nowhere to run. Like I feel like the offensive line is not opening holes, even on the short yardage situations.
Phil, those two run stuffs, the first one
there's nothing
was
you can
Sony
do.
Michelle with Shaq Mason. What'd you see?
It looked to me like Shaq Mason either didn't hear the snap call or didn't know the cadence.
Why is that?
Because I'm looking at that game and I'm watching it in slow motion, and as soon as the ball is snapped, I hit the pause button and I took a screen grab of it. And I will go so far as to even email it to you guys because it's in my email right
what?
Now.
What? All right,
Mason,
do it.
Shaq Mason.
Make sure you're on the Wi-Fi.
Are still on the ground as Joe Tooney is like halfway pulled around David Andrews' backside. Andrews is engaged in a block. The left tackle's engaged in a block, and Shaq Mason is sitting there, and it's very unusual for him. So that's why I say, I don't think he just fell asleep. I think there was some sort of brain fart there in terms of the snap count, and he gets driven back by Ricky Jean Francois, and the play gets blown up. And then Dwayne Allen, you know, again third and short, another one of your better run blockers just gets annihilated by Jerod Mayo's old teammate Tavon Wilson on a quick snap, and they end up losing yardage. So if nothing was working for them offensively. I didn't think Tom Brady played well. The receivers couldn't get open, but those guys that you count on for yards in the running game, they weren't performing either.
No, I agree. You know, honestly, like the last few years, the defense has always, I mean, they've come out, started off slow, but you, I mean, rarely have you seen an offense like this.
That level of ineptitude.
Yeah. And being the optimist that I am, though, you look around the league, I still feel like the Patriots have a chance because even those top teams, like Kansas City, like they're giving up. How many points have they given up per game?
Several.
The Ram, all those guys, there's still teams out there with glaring holes. I don't want fans to think that when Julian Edelman gets back, that everything's going
to
be
That's
okay.
That's very important to point out. I know that he's working, you know, this month on his conditioning, which wasn't where it needed to be and really affected, I think, his hands during the preseason, Phil. And training camp.
Can't simulate
so
the game.
He's just trying
he's
to get the conditioning
himself.
Up as well as he can. That should make a difference. You know, Josh Gordon, in talking to people today, the mental aspect is not an issue.
Perfect.
Period. Fine. He's fine in that realm.
So right now, though,
get the hamstring.
At least those two things can be added. For sure. And at least even having a guy out there that can just take the top off the defense. Because right now they're taking a safety and double teaming Gronk, and there's no threat. Usually when you have people that can take the top off, people start running split safeties and things like that and shooting the coverage. Right now they just have that one safety, that one guy high, and they're doubling Gronk. And no one can get open. Because even on those pass plays, Tom had time.
He did.
He had time, and no one was getting
and
open.
And then when you saw the view from behind, and Phil, I think you could probably amplify this too. You saw the view from behind, and you would see, you know, Philip Dorsett running out and trying to snake through the coverage, and this guy's within 3 yards of him the entire time.
They have no one that can uncover quickly. You know, Rob Gronkowski is great. You can even throw it to him when he's double teamed, and we've seen them make plays doing that. But whether it's Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, you know, even James White at times, like, you know, that touchdown throw to James White, he was covered. Brady just trusted him to throw it there and allow him to make a play. I don't know if he's at that same point with these other guys. And so I do think it'll be a little bit different when Edelman is on the field, because at least there you have someone who, if he's one-on-one with a defensive back, you expect him to find some open space within a couple seconds, 2.5 seconds of the snap being called, because there was at least one play where Brady took a shot late, was trying to heave it downfield. It was in that phase of the game there. You know, he has three and a half, four seconds to throw, and he just doesn't feel like he can trust anybody to get open and get open quickly. So I do think it'll be a little bit different when Edelman comes back.
When you look at the complement of offensive players, last August when they began the season, they had Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and Brandon Cooks. Those were their wide receivers. Their running backs were Deion Lewis, Mike Gillisley, Brandon Bolden, and Rex Burkhead. Now as they enter this fourth game of the season against Miami, which is already 3-0, they have as their top receivers Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan, who were the fourth and fifth best receivers last year for the team, trying to get reps. Rex Burkhead isn't going to play this weekend. Jeremy Hill is injured. So you're left with James White, who I don't care how dependable he is. He's not a 12 or more carry a game guy.
More carry. He's not a running back. No. I've been saying for a long time he's a receiver. He's a receiver.
But so you have Sony Michel and Rob Gronkowski. Phil, should I let you go or do you want to hang in for a minute?
I mean, I love hanging out with you guys.
Perfect, I want to ask. No, you're not hurting us at all. I want to ask.
Do you have unlimited minutes on your phone? Are you still on prepaid?
Oh, yeah. No, oh, I paid my card this week. I'm good.
Perfect.
Listen to me, Gerard, because after the game the other day, Rob Gronkowski spoke very candidly about the fact that he overruled an opportunity to be traded. And then Gronk's brother, Chris Gronkowski, was on Kirk and Callahan on WEEI on Tuesday speaking very candidly about the fact that there is nothing there for Gronk in terms of opportunities. He's being doubled and tripled, and there's not enough weaponry around him. And he spoke plainly about that. I'm presuming that Chris might have talked to Gronk beforehand and gotten clearance to do that. How does Bill Belichick react when his team is 1-2 after two losses on the road, when a bunch of guys are playing like ass, and even if Rob Gronkowski is merely speaking the truth, and his brother might be his brother, doesn't Bill say at some point, what are we doing?
Oh, for sure. Most definitely.
I wrote a column today saying that the shit is going to hit the fan.
And then,
in a couple of different ways.
And then the New York Post put out an article where Rob's brother was talking about the whole contract situation.
Yes, that was today on the radio.
And I'm like, when are we going to be done with this? We're still talking about things that have nothing to do with football.
How does Bill react to that? Because over the course of time covering him, and I'm reading the Belichick book by Ian O'Connor, I cannot possibly stress to you guys how fascinating it is. I read When Pride Still Mattered by Dave Moranis. This is not a hot take book. This is exhaustive in its research. When Bill's pushed, when Bill is in a situation where he sees something's going south,
oh, yeah,
he's not going to sit there and say, gee, I wonder if it's going to get better all on its own.
Not exactly.
He acts. And I think that this week he might have to act, whether it's on field with guys like Malcolm Brown or I don't know what you do with Gronk. I mean, I don't think Gronk committed a mortal sin, but I think Chris Gronkowski didn't commit a mortal sin either. He's not working for the Patriots, but it doesn't help the climate within the team.
Yeah, it doesn't help at all. I'm sure. I shouldn't say I'm sure, but I would think that Bill would talk to Rob, like, listen, tell your brother to stop putting that stuff out there. It's kind of like when you see these college quarterbacks, you know, parents coming out doing interviews. Everyone's so easily accessible now. Or,
college, what are you talking about? We don't call the quarterbacks dads. Doesn't matter if it's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Right.
No, but
John Elway.
In all seriousness, I know Bill is pissed. You have to, especially when you're putting that type of product out there on the field.
I wonder how
the team will respond whenever Belichick does whatever it is he's going to do, whether it's benching guys, you know, whether it's, I don't know, again, like Tom said, I don't know what you do with Rob Gronkowski. I don't think he necessarily, you know, I don't know if you can bench him or can you fine it like that? I don't know.
But who gets benched? A little bit strong.
Who gets benched? I probably would bench Malcolm Brown and not think twice about it. I'd probably bench a Landon Roberts. I don't even know if you consider that a benching, but like, I'm kind of done in terms of expecting him to play consistently. So I don't know. And I don't know if that even is enough to send a message to the team. But one of the things that Ninkovich said to me the other night, which I thought was interesting, was how do you respond? If you're one of these players who's getting called out in the meetings today when they're back in the building at Gillette Stadium, when you're getting called out or if you're getting benched, how do you respond? Are you somebody who gets pissed off? Do you get angry? As Ninkovich said, he would, and he would want to show the coaching staff that they screwed up, and you go back and you win your role and you end up being a better player for it. Or do you kind of just go back into your shell and say, well, it's not working out for me here. I'm on the last year of my contract and hopefully it works out better somewhere else. And that I think is going to dictate, you know, in some ways, maybe how this next phase of the season goes. And I don't know what this team is like in terms of how it's built that way. And I know it's been a mentally tough team over the years, but talking to guys in the locker room after that game the other night about toughness and drive, you said this to us many times, run the ball, stop the run, cover kicks. How have the Patriots done that through 3 weeks? If that's how you gauge toughness, I don't know how you can call this a tough team right now. And basically, you know, longtime Patriots, Matthew Slater, James Devlin telling me after the game, when I ask about toughness, well, we'll see. We don't know right now. And I think that's a little bit alarming.
Right. So since we have the roster guy on the phone, What do you think about, you know, it was just, what, 2 years ago where we were saying, like, Chandler Jones, Hightower, Jamie. Malcolm.
Well, 3 years for Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie, Malcolm. Like, this is the new core of this defense. And now you look at the defense. Do you think that this is, I mean, this is like a long time coming, you know, like as far as picking in the back of the draft and trading away people because you didn't want to pay them and things like that? I mean, I'd be interested to get your take on that one, Phil.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that they've dealt away talent. But again, going back to what I just said in terms of how do you respond to being challenged, I don't know how many great examples there are of guys in some ways being challenged or in some ways maybe being disciplined and really not responding well at all, whether it's Jamie Collins or Malcolm Butler all of last season, essentially, after he didn't get the contract that he wanted. I don't like those guys are all great players, and when at their best, they would make any defense better for sure. But in some ways, by the way that they responded to how they were treated by the coaching staff, didn't they kind of make the coaching staff's point by getting rid of those guys?
Well, in one regard, you're right. But would they have performed that way had they been, quote unquote, rewarded? I mean, and now this is, there are other players who are confronting that, and there are players who are even more important, you could say, on the other side of the ball. There's no way that Rob Gronkowski nor Tom Brady are going to realize the incentives that were laid out, period. Done. End of story. If either of those guys hits their incentive, I'll pay you, Phil, the equal amount of money. Because
I'll take it.
Offensively, these guys are not going to be able to get to that level. Just given they're going to miss 4 weeks of production at least. But, you know, when you have Bill Belichick saying a couple of years ago, I want to coach players I like. I don't want to coach assholes anymore. I want to coach the kind of player I like to coach. And if you vanquish the guys that you don't like to coach, who you might be putting out the door because they're pissed off because they were underpaid relative to their performance, maybe not relative to where they came into the program from, then you're going to end up with Jordan Richards and, you know, players, you know, or scrap heaping for Danny Shelton, who might still be a good player. I don't know, but you've
But even with a Danny Shelton, he's not paying dividends right now because the run defense still stinks.
But, I mean, he might turn into something, but what there's a lot of hope against hope that's going on right now. You know, you're hoping that the Patriots in 2018 will do what the Patriots in 2014 and 2012 and all those other years, Phil, where they just, you know.
Oh, that team was so bad.
Which one?
The 2011 team going to 2012. That 2012.
2013. Those were not good teams.
But we made it to the Super Bowl. I was like, you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing. Seriously, as bad as that sounds, that's why I still hold out hope for this team. Because we were bad.
And I don't think anybody's writing this team off.
I think some people are. Some people are looking at this team
some
like,
people have their pens up.
This may be a rebuilding year.
I mean, guys, let me ask you this. They're about to play a team that's 3-0, a team that might be a little bit overrated in some ways.
They haven't played anyone.
Because of the teams they've played. Right. Yeah. So, but what if they go out there and all the Dolphins have to do is double Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots can't move the ball again and they lose again and they're 1-3?
Well, this is a copycat league. This is a copycat league. You better believe that's what they're going to do. And the Dolphins have an adequate pass rush to get after Tom. So that's exactly what they're going to do.
If the Dolphins don't double Rob Gronkowski on every third down and every snap in the red zone, then it's the dumbest coaching staff.
Oh, for sure.
Because they haven't proven that they can do anything else.
The only way the Patriots win this game is if the defense New England's defense goes out there and they play opportunistic football and they go out there and get some turnovers, which Tannehill has not really turned the ball over. And Tannehill as a starting quarterback, I want to say they're 10-1 in the last 11 that Tannehill's been the quarterback.
You have no guarantee that you're going to have Patrick Chung back with the concussion. Trey Flowers, same deal. I mean, Trey got hit really hard, but, you know.
Isn't that crazy, though? Tannehill was 10-1 or something crazy, like in his last 11 starts.
I didn't let that sink in. Yes, it is.
It is unbelievable. But this is a guy, another mobile quarterback who's making plays with his feet and won't turn the ball over, just moving the chains. And most of the time, this team on defense, they're methodical. They let you go down, do your thing, tighten up in the red zone. Right now, they're not even tightening up in the red zone.
Tell you what, for all the people who don't like Sony Michel, he is the only reason, the only way the Patriots are going to win on Sunday.
For sure.
You better get 18 carries and 90-plus yards at least out of him, Phil, right? Because, I mean, it's over. I mean, They know what to do against Rob Gronkowski. There's no separation from the other two wide receivers. James White is fine, but you have to establish a running game, and you have to move the chains. So I think that you can scream at the offensive line, and Dante Scarnecchia can scream at the offensive line and get them to perform better, but you can't get Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan to magically perform better. And I don't know what Josh Gordon can bring.
Because there's no play-action game, though. Did you see the play-action plays from the Patriots?
Yeah, just run past everybody anyway.
No, they're just like, I'm saying linebacker's not even – yeah, they're not even playing the run. You fake a handoff. The reason for play action is to suck those guys up to cause that stretch between the safeties and the linebackers. They're just sitting back there, and that little pop pass, that thing's not even working anymore. That was like the bread and butter of this offense.
I think even without any additions personnel-wise, if Josh Gordon doesn't do anything for you, obviously you're still not going to have Julian Edelman. If they can just start a little faster and play from ahead and be a little bit more unpredictable, then we could see the offense get significantly better from week 3 to week 4. I mean, if Tom Brady, I know he was out there and he didn't get a lot of help from his teammates and he was talking about it right after the game, but if he makes a better throw to Chris Hogan on that first third down of the game, deep down the middle of the field, if he makes a better throw, not to Philip Dorsett over the middle, the one that Dorsett had to jump for, but to James White right at the sticks for an easy first down, would have been their first down of the game. Like, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe they start to move the ball a little bit better, but you get behind, you have to start chucking. You know, everybody can just drop back deep if you're the Lions and you're protecting against any sort of long gain, then it just makes it too easy defensively. If they can be better earlier, they have a shot.
It's all about complimentary football. I'm telling you, you can't go out there and have your offense out there for 15 minutes and think you're going to win a game.
And it's funny because I think that Brady knows that that's his limitation. Look, if I have to drop back 55 times, but the guys I'm throwing to can't get separation, that's when I'm probably going to look 38, 39,
well, the whole team.
40.
The whole team's going to look poo.
But it highlights one of his shortcomings in that he's not going to be able to make a play with his foot, so he's going to lumber around a little bit and then have to force something. And then he gets frustrated and a little bit desperate and tries to make a play. Phil, you got anything to add before we cut you loose?
No, I got to go. I got to go pick up my baby.
All right, say hi to Rye Guy. He's the best. He loves Thomas
the
Tank
Engine. Hey, I really like talking to you guys. You guys are really smart football guys. I really think we should do this more.
Hey, Phil, good enough. We're trying to get rid of you. Thomas the Tank Engine rolling along.
It's just Thomas the Train, I thought. No. Not the Tank Engine.
Then you don't watch it.
It's Thomas the Train.
It's Thomas the Train.
Thank you. The Tank Engine. Like, how old are you? Dun, 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 dun. That's probably back
Thomas
when they were.
Thomas the Train. Is that he is rolling? No, it isn't.
Yeah, that's
Thomas
when they were.
The Tank Engine rolling along.
Hey, that's when he was taking. They were taking charcoal. Like, had people on the back. More coal. You want speed? More coal. More coal.
All right. We'll see you next week, folks.